for what he's done for me. Thank you, Brother Taylor. You have your Bibles. I want to talk to you a few moments, and I'm going to kind of be informal today. We're just home folk right now. Praise God. Amen. We're the faithful few this morning because so many people are out for so many different reasons. Last Sunday, we were wondering where we're thinking about getting more chairs because we didn't have room for everybody. I'm glad we didn't put them out. We'd look even smaller. Amen. But this Sunday, it's a whole different Sunday. God has given us direction for people living in the last day. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. It says, comfort ye, my people. Handel took that wonderful verse of scripture and incorporated it into his great work, Handel, Messiah. And it's still one of the beautiful songs in that group of scriptural biblical celebrations of God's grace and God's love. It is said that when he did it for the queen never stood up during performances because it was not protocol for the queen to stand up and applause like the common people. She stayed seated during every performance. The other people stood up and gave applause. But when Handel got to Handel's Messiah was performed in a command performance, when they sung the Hallelujah chorus, the queen stood to her feet. Fate to give honor to God, because she realized that this was someone higher than her, amen, that was being sung to and sung about. Can you say amen? Praise God. I want to read a scripture from Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6. I want to talk to everyone in here that lives in a faulty body in a fallen world. I'm going to ask a question this morning that I'd like everyone here to respond to so that you take this sermon personal to your own heart. I'm not asking, are you saved? I'm not asking, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking, are you peculiarly anointed? I'm not asking if you had visions and dreams. I'm not asking how long you've been serving the Lord. I'm not asking you how many scriptures you can quote. I'm not asking you if you've been to Bible college. I'm not asking you how many hours you spend in prayer. I'm not asking you how many principles and revelations you have in the Word of God. I'm asking you this question. Are you living in a faulty body? Is it a corruptible body? Amen. Are you living in a fallen world? Let me see your hand if you're living in a faulty. I didn't say you had to be sick all the time, but your body is not immortal yet. Has anybody looked in the mirror in the last 20 years? Amen. Can you tell a difference from you now and you 20 years ago? Amen. Lady came, as I told you, hadn't been to our church in over 20 years, 25 years actually. She came down from where she lived up north, and she walked in and she said, you look just like your daddy. And I thought, well, my daddy's an old guy. So I finally arrived. I'm finally looking just like my daddy. Amen. And my daddy told me last night, he says, I can't believe that you're 63. He said, you're over 63 actually now. And he said, I can't believe that because he said, you are where I was such a short time ago. My dad's 27 years older than I am. He was 27 when I was born. But he said, it just seems a little while ago, I was your age, and I remember when he was my age. And I remember I looked at him like a old guy, amen? And here I am at 63 trying to hold on to my youth. Let me tell you something about waiting upon the Lord. They, regardless of your age or stage of life, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You're not ever going to be 25 again. Amen. Except when you get to heaven. I don't know what age you're going to be when you get there, but I guarantee you there won't be any feeble folk there. Amen. Jesus was 33 when he died on the cross. It could be we're all just clocked back to 33. I can't help but tell you something I've told you before in the comics, because it really spoke to me now that I'm up getting up in this stage of life. And it was Frank and Ernest, the two guys, you know, these two guys in the funny paper. And Frank is pushing on his belly button. He's pushing with his finger on his belly button. And Ernest says to him, Frank, why are you pushing on your belly button. He said, belly button? I thought this was my age reset button. Wouldn't it be great if God built into all of us an age reset button? But I would save it. You know, I would save it until I really begin to feel it. Amen. Till the snap, crackle, and pop starts. Not my breakfast cereal, but my bones when I get up in the morning. I've got some kind of pinched something on one side of my back. God's going to have to help me with it and heal it because I can't change it. And it's like a pinched thing. And I lay down at night. When I go to get up, it catches. And for the first few minutes getting up, I'm in this pain. You know, I get up kind of like this and I start. But then after a while, I can get it worked out as long as I'm up walking around. The secret is don't lay down. You know, if I don't lay down, I'll be fine. But if I lay down, it kind of gets pinched in there. When I get up and get moving, it's fine. It's fine right now. I need it healed. I'm going to ask God to heal me. Already have done that, believing Him for it. But when I first get up, I'm groaning. And I make a sound, oh, and I thought, it's begun. This is the beginning of all of this. And I think right now would be a good time for me. If I had an age reset button, I'd press it right now. Can you say amen? And roll it back to about 25. How many would like to roll it back to 25, knowing what you know now? Amen. Not go back to the crazy thing you were at 25. Can you say amen? No, he don't want to go back to 25. Amen. Knowing what you know now, to just push it and go back. Well, the only thing that we can do is not turn back the clock. But we can recognize we are in a faulty body. We are in a fallen world. And we're going to come under the pressure of that in our life. In this world, Jesus said, because you're in a faulty body and live in a fallen world, in this world as it is now, tainted by sin, in this world you shall have tribulation. And the word tribulation comes from the little Greek word. It's a big meaning, but it's a simple little word. THELP-SIS, thelpsis. And it means anguish and pressure. The Bible said in the last days, because of the conditions of the world, the condition of men's hearts will change conditions in the world. The Bible said that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous, the most clear illustration of that would be outrageous or definition. Outrageous. We're seeing things in the paper, in the news, that is completely outrageous. Just when we think we've heard it all, read it all, seen it all, we read about some other outrageous thing, whether it be a man on Thanksgiving here in Florida that killed his entire family on Thanksgiving Day, whether it be someone who goes into a college campus and kills a dozen people, whether it be the stealing of a child out of their bed in their home, and then the destruction and molestation of that child. Just when we think we've heard it all, something else hits the news. We're living in that time. And the actual Greek speaks of that word, the effect that it has. It would be of the connotated from the actual Greek would be a reducing of the strength. There is a slow, insidious, constant wearing down of our emotions and our abilities to just function under the pressure of a faulty body in a fallen world. How many know God didn't create you for the world as it is? You were not created equipped for what sin has done, for what the curse has done. You were not created to ever have to deal with the death of a loved one. No one was created to deal with that. Death is not God's idea. He didn't create that for man. Sin brought death into the world. Sin brought the curse. You were created. That means in and of your own ability to cope with things, you were created emotionally and spiritually and physically for a garden in which there was no sin, there was no pain, there was no heartache, there was no disease, there was no death, there was no divorce, there was no fighting, there was no wars. You were created to live in a perpetual place of perpetual peace, with eternal life, eternal peace, eternal joy. And sin tainted this world. But you were not made for a sin-darkened world. You understand that? You were not. All the self-help books that there are out there, you know, if you go on Oprah's show, everybody that's on there says, if you only believe, if you only believe. I remember at SeaWorld, we went, and it was a one year we went to SeaWorld, and we saw that whale that grabbed the lady, and we saw the lady, and she's a precious lady. We saw a documentary on how much she wanted to do this. And I remember the first time there was some other theme, and then the next time we went, the theme was believe. And it was, and it literally, what the world, it's a worldview. It's not a terrible thing, but it becomes sinful in this respect, that if you don't look to God and you just look within yourself, there's a sin that is at the bottom. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? According to the scripture, it's sin. Why is it sin? Because God has been replaced. God has been supplanted. Can you say amen? So when I just look in Bobby for the strength, Bobby for everything I need. There's even a teaching out there that's going to put you in charge, you in control, and make you responsible. Let me tell you what that teaching is going to do for you. It's going to put you under stress.
Yes, it is.
You're going to live under stress. And you're going to be distressed. And you're going to be hard. People will be hard-pressed to find joy in you if it's all up to you. That victory is all on your shoulders. Victory better go to a higher power than you. You say, well, Brother Venable, I have authority. Yes, you do, but your authority is under him. You can only do what he's already spoken. Amen? Amen? So it all starts with God. It don't start with you. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end, and he's all in between. Everybody say he's all in between. Praise God. All right? Listen to me carefully. You're under pressure. I'm under pressure. There is no preacher in this world that has developed their faith to a place that they don't feel and have to cope with and deal with the pressure. One hyper-faith preacher that's on television and is known as the Word of Faith preacher, he said that he was standing preaching one night. He said this in Jacksonville, Florida. All his tapes is going to tell you to not even have a cold. He never has a cold. He's only being healed of a cold. It makes me want to ask him, what's that stuff he's blowing in that handkerchief? Is that not real? If it is, why do you need that handkerchief? And what is that coming out of your nose? I hate to be crass this morning, but it gets real silly after a while. If you got a cold, you got a cold. Saying you don't have a cold don't change the fact that you do have a cold. You don't have to say you have a cold to get a cold. Can you say amen? And saying you don't have one ain't going to keep you from getting one. Went to a healing conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Oral Roberts was a keynote speaker. He couldn't be there because he had the flu. How many know that we live in a fallen world? How many know that we live in a faulty body? There's nobody that don't get a cold. I meet with preachers. This preacher, everything at the table stays at the table, but he would tell you this, so I'm going to tell you what he would tell you. Amen. And he said that I haven't had a cold in 5 years. He said, and every time people ask me, how do you do it? You're around people with colds and people in your church. You go to hospital where people got colds, but you don't get a cold. He's got a great immune system. And he says, I always tell them, Centrum in God. Everybody, Centrum is a multivitamin mineral supplement. Centrum in God. He said, I've told people for 5 years it was Centrum in God. He said, this year I got the worst cold I've ever had in my entire life. And it lasted longer than any cold I've had in my entire life. And he said, while I was trying to get through this cold and praying for God to help me and to shorten the symptoms of it so I could get back functioning as normal again, it occurred to me that God was trying to tell me something. It isn't Centrum in God. Something wrong with that. Does anybody here guess what might be wrong with that? Oh, yeah. It's okay to take Centrum and to try to keep your immune system up. But it needs to be God and Centrum, not Centrum in God. So he said, as soon as I get over this cold and I get better, I'm going to start telling people why it's God and Centrum. Can you say amen? Because you live in a faulty body. And without God's supernatural, there's no way that you're going to be immune to any kind of cold out there that everybody else gets or any other thing out there without God's supernatural. And without God's supernatural, you're not going to be immune either to the emotional duress and the stress and the anxiety of a fallen world. It's going to touch you and it's going to touch me. In this world, you as a believer, you as a follower of Christ, you as a Christian are going to experience Phelpsis. Everybody say anguish. Things are going to happen to break your heart. Things are going to happen to put pressure on you. Can you say amen? So God wants to tell us how to cope with this, not how to live above it. One of the most frequent words used in Scripture that Jesus used is fear not. And you'd be amazed how much faith teaching is fear-based. We didn't get many nods this time, but you know I'm going to give you Scripture, so you might as well go ahead and agree. It's going to come from God's Word. There's so much faith teaching today that is fear-based. People, I heard a lady preacher the other day said that she said she would always see something in Scripture that really excited her. She said, boy, that just blows me away. She said, I'm going to quit doing that because the next town we went, listen to the fear. 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 The next town we went to, a tornado came real close to the building we were in. As if she created that with her words. Let me tell you who has creative words. God. Let me tell you who can't create nothing. Now, you can create an atmosphere of fear, but I'm talking about something tangible. Can you say amen? You can't create that. You can't create that. You're not a creator. Let me tell you something about the devil. He's no creator either. He's not a god. He's a fallen angel. How many know who has the power to create? God. Amen? You're not a little god. Don't take that responsibility on you. Let God be God. Amen. He said, I'm the vine. What are you? What are you? If he's the vine, what are you? Are you are you self-sufficient because you have the Holy Spirit? Are you self-sufficient because you can quote the Word of God? No, you're not. You're God-dependent all the way through. Can you say amen? Faith does not make any faith message that makes you self-sufficient is taking you away from a dependence on God. And true faith is being absolutely and totally dependent upon the Lord. Amen? Listen to me. So much of it is fear. Amen? If you don't say it, I know you can talk defeat and hurt your own spirit, but let me tell you something. It gets ridiculous. How fearful are we? How filled with fear we are that we're going to mess it up somehow to the point that God can't give us victory. I'll tell you, I wouldn't come under that for all the gold and silver in this world. Amen. I do not walk in fear today. Amen. You know why? Because the Lord is my shield and my buckler. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. It's not all on my shoulders. God don't want it all on my shoulders. He wants me to cast my burden, the whole of my anxiety, upon him. There are people you get around, you got to be careful around because they're so filled with fear. They're afraid some door is going to be open to demon forces at any time and devils are going to come in and overwhelm us. Let me tell you something. He that's in you, he that's in me, he, not you, he that's in me is greater than he that is in this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't live my life in fear of demons. I live my life in faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody give him praise in this room. Amen. So I stay away from people that are filled with fear. Because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not perfected in love. He's not convinced that God loves him with unconditional, perfect, powerful, keeping love. Amen. Because fear hath torment, say it with me, torment, but perfect love does what to fear? Cast it out. This is not casting out an evil spirit. This is defeating fear in your spirit. Can you say amen? This is not an entity that needs to be cast out. This is an attitude change within your own heart and an atmosphere change over your life. Praise God. He that feareth has never been perfected in love. For perfect love cast out. How much fear? All of it. I'm not afraid that the devil is going to afflict me and make me sick because I get up one morning and say, I have a cold. That would be like David saying, but I'm believing God to take me through it. I'm believing God to heal me of it. But I'm not going to deny that I have it if all that greenish gray stuff is coming out of my nose. See how fear-based it gets? Kind of Christian bookstore that has all this faith ministry says, and he's coughing because he has what? Why do you think he's coughing? Because he's got a cold. You know, we got to watch out for stuff bleeding over into other cults and religions and Eastern teachings in the name of faith. Christian Science says there is no sickness in reality. Sickness is all in your mind. Born again Christian asked his Christian Scientist friend, how's your father? Because he knew his father was ill and had an incurable disease, except for the Lord. He said, how's your father doing? He said, he thinks he's sick. Amen. It gets ludicrous after a while. And then he asked him about 4 weeks later, how's your daddy doing? We've been praying for him. He said, he thinks he's sick. He still thinks he's sick. He asked him about 6 weeks later, how's your dad doing now? He said, he thinks he's dead. Can you say amen? Listen, you can think all you want. Amen. You can be a positive thinker. You can say you don't have something that you have. You can deny the reality of living in a faulty body all you want to. It's not going to make you supernatural. It's not going to make you immortal. It's not going to change the fact that you live in a body that is faulty, in a world that is fallen. So this man was confronted about his coughing because he's teaching faith. And if you don't claim it, it'll never happen to you. And yet he's got it. And he sure didn't claim it. You don't have to claim it to get it. All you have to do is shake hands with somebody and rub your eye. See, what you don't know is before you shook their hand, they were picking their nose. Can you say amen? Come on, let's get real. If you go back to McDonald's, there's a McDonald's in our Walmart in Plant City. Oh, yes, people do pick their nose. What do you think God made this finger for anyway? It wasn't for pointing at people in judgment. The Bible said, take away from thee the putting forth of the finger. I'll tell you, if you lose this finger, it's difficult. Try anyone. Not here, not now. In private. And wash your hands. Can you say amen when you're done? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, how many touch? You know, I'm so glad for the doors that open on their own. Because when you grab a door to go in a department store, I don't want to make you paranoid, but it would, you know, you need to wash your hands. Don't scratch your eyes. Don't pick your nose. Don't take a piece of gum and stick it in your mouth with your fingers. You grab a door. You know what you just grabbed? You grabbed where every hand that has went in that store has grabbed. And I've never seen a Walmart employee doing what my wife does when I get a cold, running around behind me with this antiseptic spray. My husband just used the bathroom. You know, he touched that faucet. If I do the dishes, the sink, you do sanitize it. I'm glad you do. Well, not every time. You let a few times slip. You touch that door, you go back to McDonald's. She don't touch me. I sure don't get no sugar. And I don't want no antiseptic sprayed on my lips because it wouldn't be as much fun anymore. Amen? That just wouldn't be fun no more. Listen, you touch that, you know it's on your hand. If you don't think about it, you go back to McDonald's and get you a large fry. They got a McDonald's in there. You sit down, you eat that large fry. You buy yourself some grapes and you want to have a few before you get to the front. They'll weigh less. You won't have to pay as much. You'll get some in your stomach. Just eat a few on the way to the front. Amen. you eat a few grapes on the way. You really don't do that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. You eat a little something and that germ could get in you. You could actually get a cold without confessing it. You would have to say nothing about no cold to get a cold. If you touch that door, don't wash your hands. Confessing it, don't confessing it, faith or no faith. You live in a faulty body. It is not immortal yet. It is subject. In fact, I hate to break this to you, but from the day you're born, you start dying. just mature. Amen. How many know that? I hate to break this to you, but everybody in here, 60 and 10. 60 and 10. Now that I'm 63, that's not a lot. 60 and 10 is the median level for man to live in a faulty body after the curse. The Bible said 60 and 10 is given to man. That's the median. Things can take you early, and there's exceptions. And by reason of strength, listen to this, big deal, 40. You can make it to 80. Amen. My grandmother was an exception. She made it to 105. But if you go out to the cemetery today, you're not going to see too many people that live to be 100. Can you say amen? This world is passing. This body as we know it is faulty. It's passing. I remember when a man came to our church, he quit coming because there's a guy come into town, and he used that scripture about God has delivered us from sin and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How many know we're going to live forever? But we're going to have to drop this body if Jesus tarries. Can you say amen? This bone bag. We're not going to die. I'm not ever going to die. He that liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. But I'm going to drop this body. But Bobby's going to live right on until this body is resurrected and I'm reunited with it. Amen. At that resurrection. But I have one in heavens, the Bible said, not made with hands. Amen. And I don't yearn to be naked, not have a body, but clothed upon with the one God's prepared for me to await the general resurrection. But when the dead in Christ rise, my body's going to come up. And my spirit is going to be reunited with this body. It kind of answers the question, will we know each other in heaven? What would be the point of going if we didn't know each other?
I mean, just to sit up there with a bunch of strangers and not ever see our loved ones again?
Amen. Well, I'm going to be in this body. Everybody say this body. I don't think I'll be 63. I think I'll be a younger guy. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe we'll all be young and handsome. And that's your lady, and then you're going to be young and gorgeous. Praise God. But we can't stay in this body. Well, it's passing just like the world is. Can you say amen? You live in a... It gets ridiculous. So this guy was confronted in a Christian bookstore because he was hacking in coffee. And instead of saying, I have a cold, pray for me, or I have a cold, I'm believing God for my healing... He couldn't confess it because then it's going to really get a grip on him. So he says, I'm being healed of a cold. Well, maybe he was. But look at the fear in that. If I don't say everything just right, this thing's going to get a stranglehold. Well, the world don't say it at all. They don't acknowledge God at all. Can you say amen? Hello? If you want to be in control, just take the authority of believer to an extreme, and all the weight of your victory will rest on you. And you know what? You will be hard pressed to be joyous for a minute, because now you're looking, you live in a state of strenuous stress, because you are always ready to do battle and you never rest in the Lord. The Bible said to fight the good fight of faith. And if you fight in faith, the battle is the Lord's. Can you say amen? I love the story of Jehoshaphat, don't you? He said, we have no might. Listen to the bad confession that brings this great victory. There's a great army comes up against Jehoshaphat. Three, in fact, armies unified together. Allied together with one intent to destroy the little nation of Israel. And Joshua looks out and he says, Lord, we have no might in ourselves. See, faith is not about how strong you are. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. Because you're anointed, don't make you mighty. It just demonstrates that he's mightily come upon you. But you're not mighty. Can you say amen? Samson was never mighty. The only time he could ever do any exploit is when the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And when the Spirit of the Lord departed him, he was just like anybody else. And without the Spirit of God, let me give you a news flash today. You're just like anybody else. Can you say amen? and the fear that's interlaced and underlying all of this, where there's no real rest in the Lord, no real joy, no real peace, because of the constant pressure. The pressure is on. The battle is arrayed against them. There seems to be no way out. Jehoshaphat says, Lord, we have no might and we have no strength. Today, that would be called a negative confession. That would invite the enemy to destroy you. But that's not what happened in the Bible. How many believe the Bible should be an authority? We have no might. It's a confession that, Lord, without you, we have no hope. But that confession doesn't stop with that. It confesses also that we're not without you. But the focus of faith is not on our ability, amen, but on his faithfulness. Can you say amen? We have no might or strength to go out against this great adversary, but our eyes are upon who? You. What the Bible says in the New Testament, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Faith looks unto Jesus. Faith doesn't look at itself and say, I'm strong enough. You might think spiritually that you're King Kong's brother-in-law. But I got news for you. You're not. Amen. Anytime I see a Christian in so many words doing that, I said, there goes somebody that's under intense pressure. Because they think their spiritual stature and their spiritual strength is sustaining them. And Paul said, it's grace. Whatever I am, it's because of the grace of God. My faith is in his faithfulness to show mercy and grace to me, to sustain me. And when I'm weak, and admit it, and depend on him, then am I made strong. Therefore, I'll take pleasure in infirmities. Do you want to be in control? You want to take God's role into your life? Or do you want him to be the author of your faith? And him to be the completer of it? The Bible said, looking unto Jesus in the New Testament, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And it means not to glance at him when the trouble comes, but to set your gaze upon him. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat said. He said, we have no power, we have no might to go out against this great army, but our eyes, say it with me, are on you. Amen. Are your eyes on your faith, your authority, your ability, or are your eyes on him today? Can you say amen? If your eyes are on you, guess what? The onus, and that's a forensic term in a courtroom. The responsibility for your safety, the responsibility for your victory is all laying on you. And if you can't take the heat, if you have a misstep, if you, amen, crumple under the load, the devil will destroy you because God's going to sit back until you get your act together to move. That's wrong. God will not sit back. He is a shepherd God. And if one sheep is missing, one sheep is... Listen, there's something they call the cast sheep. It's a sheep that before the wool is shorn off of them, they get top heavy. And if they get off balance, they can fall over. And if they fall over, they're like a turtle. That's why sheep have to have a shepherd. And a cast sheep is a sheep that has started to eat, got out of balance, fell over, and they cannot right themselves. And as they lay on their back in panic, kicking, gases build up in their stomach. And if they're not righted pretty soon, they will die because they are a cast sheep. Everybody say a cast sheep. And the shepherd, many times, we'll bring all of those sheep in. What happens when he has 100 sheep under his care and 99 of them haven't got into that predicament and they're safe in the fold? What does the shepherd do? He said there's one missing. And the Bible said he will leave them in the safety of the confine and he will go and look for a little while and say, well, I told them they should have stood strong. I told them they should have listened to my tapes. I told them they should have read their Bible more and prayed more. Is that what he does? Is that his attitude toward a cast sheep? What does he do? The Bible said he searches. How long does he search? listen, until he finds it. He said, I'm not giving up. Amen. I'm going to go after this sheep and I'm going to search. And if it gets dark, I'm going to search in the dark. And if it takes until dawn, I'm going to search until dawn. But I'm not giving up until I find it. And when he finds it, he writes it. And if it's been a long time, the sheep can't even walk. Every time you see Jesus in this picture, you see him with a lamb across his shoulders. I got news for you. He don't just carry little helpless lambs. He carries big old sheep that can't right themselves. Oh, give God some praise in here. I want to teach you faith according to the Bible. Because I want to see you get out of your fear. The onus isn't on you. The onus is on him. He's the heavenly Father. He's the shepherd. He's the branch. We're the vine. He's the vine. We're the branch. I don't want to be the vine. I want to be the branch on the vine. Because the vine feeds me. The vine supports me. The vine, hallelujah, sustains me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have to be afraid because he is my shield. If the shield of faith is your faith, you better never misstep. You never better never make a mistake. You better never be a cast sheep because he's going to let you sit right there till you get it right and right yourself. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. If you have to right yourself, you don't need a shepherd. What good is having the Lord for your shepherd if you've got to right yourself? You know what's good about having the Lord for your shepherd? Because he's going to come to you when you're weakest. He's going to come to you when you have a bad day because of a fallen world and a faulty body. Amen. When your emotions are wrought, you don't have to be on a mountaintop for him to come and pick you up. They that wait upon the Lord, what's going to happen? They will mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, by the way. Everybody look up here just a minute. I want to show you what this isn't. This isn't you with eagle's wings. Young eagles to learn how to fly. So she takes all that soft stuff out of the nest. Everything comfortable. You realize when you get comfortable, God will make you uncomfortable so that you will trust him more. Amen. Something will happen to make you uncomfortable. If you're looking to be comfortable down in this world, instead of find his supernatural peace, you're looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place. Everybody say the wrong thing in the wrong place. How many know your life isn't going to smooth out because you never have a bad day? You know why? Because you're going to have a bad day. And how many know it isn't going to smooth out because you say the bad day isn't bad? You know what David said? When my heart's overwhelmed within me, not if, because you live in a faulty body in a fallen world, it's going to happen to you. Thank God for the honesty of David. Amen. It's one thing God appreciated about him was honesty, complete, forthright honesty. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, your heart's going to be over. That faith teacher, and you probably got some of his books and tapes. He said, I went out on a platform, couldn't preach. He said, it felt like my spirit was leaving my body and not in a good way. I felt like I was dying. There's books all over the shelf telling you how to walk in that perfect victory. But you got to understand, this man don't live in the place that you're trying to go.
He said, I was overwhelmed. I told my staff, he had to cancel the meeting. He went off and got off in the woods in a log cabin to pray and seek God and cry out for help. Now his eyes are on the Lord. It's not on his anointing, his revelation, his faith, his ability to believe. It's on God, his grace and mercy. Isn't that incredible? That's where it's supposed to be all the time. And he said, I can't even say that my faith and my prayers did anything. He said, my mother-in-law called people together and interceded for me. He didn't even give his own prayer credit. And yet there's tapes on tapes and books on books on faith and confession and getting it perfect. But that's not how he got delivered in his personal life and testimony. Sometimes we don't read all. We don't hear everything we need to hear. And we suppose things are one way when they're another. His name, by the way, is Kenneth Copeland, if you want to know his name. The message was preached in Jacksonville, Florida. The tapes are available of that message years ago. Hyper faith doesn't mean you become where you can walk it all out. And the onus isn't on you. Listen, he said intercession. My mother-in-law's intercession. My own prayers, my own faith didn't pull me out of that hole. Intercession of others pulled me out. I tell you, God will bring you to a place you need somebody to pray for you. I don't care if you're in a pulpit. There's no preacher that don't need somebody praying for him. When Spurgeon was asked why the great result from his preaching in that grand church in England, you know what he said? He said, my anointing, my faith, my revelation, my appointing, my calling. He said, no, my people pray for me. It's the prayers of intercession that's giving me this utterance that's bringing such result. Hallelujah. Without that, I can't do it in and of myself. God has made us to be dependent on him and interdependent on one another. He wouldn't even send them one by one. He sent them two by two because two are better than one, the song of the Bible said, because if one falleth and he falls by himself, but if there's two, there's somebody to pick him up. Nobody stands without somebody to pick him up sometime. When Paul was down, God sent Epaphroditus to him. And he said, that's my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. Forget the offering. This man has been the blessing to me. Wow. David had a Jonathan. Praise God. Send me John Mark, Paul said, because he's profitable to me. For what? For the ministry. But send him quickly, because God didn't design us to be independent, but interdependent. We're a body, amen, fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise God. Make no mistake about it. Faith makes you dependent on God, and it causes us to be interdependent on one another. We're having a hard time getting independent pastors. I don't mean denominationally, but personally, to come out of their ivory tower and come to pastors' meetings where we open up and pray for one another. Trying to take it all. Stand so very strong. I'm glad this man said, my mother-in-law's prayers is what pulled me through. But of course, when we get pulled through, what a lot of people do, we forget where our real strength was. We forget the humility. We forget the principles we should have learned out in there of grace and mercy. And we come back and start talking like we can handle it all again. Amen. That proves we can't. Why didn't Oral Roberts show up at the healing conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee? Because he had the flu. Is God going to make him superhuman to use him supernaturally? Never. How many know somebody said, would you let somebody with glasses pray for your eyes? Absolutely. Why not? Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. This is not about whether they wear glasses or not, or they become supernatural or not. This is about the anointing. This is about God's anointing. God anoints people in faulty bodies that live in fallen worlds to represent a perfect kingdom and a perfect king. But being used supernaturally doesn't make anybody supernatural. I want you to know something. The onus, you know what onus means forensically in a courtroom?
It means the response, the legal responsibility. If you run a stop sign and you hit somebody and there's a fatality because you broke the law, when you walk in that courtroom, here's a forensic term, but the onus is on you for that. The onus means the legal responsibility is on you. Let me tell you something. Biblically, God takes the onus off of us. Everybody say, the onus ain't on us no more. Isn't that good? Amen. The onus isn't on you. Jesus walks out and he says, he's in a field full of beautiful lilies. And he uses it to use an illustration. He said, consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil and they don't spin. But your Father clothes them. Solomon, in all of his glory, is not clothed like one of these. And if he clothed the lilies of the, where's the onus now? If he so clothed the lilies of the field, will he not also clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Is your faith going to clothe you, or your Father going to clothe you? Okay, so where's your faith directed? To your Father. Who has the onus for clothing you? You making things materialized by your faith, or God showing you his paternal love and faithfulness? Everybody say, God showing me his... Listen, he doesn't just provide for that area. He also provides, amen, for our clothes, but for that we need to life. Listen to this. Consider the fowls of the air. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not filled with angst and anxiety. They don't have to try to make anything happen by their faith. The Father that created them has made a provision for them. And if the Father feeds the fowls of the air, and he does, will he not feed you? You have a little faith? Faith in what? Faith in your ability to believe and make things materialize? No, faith in a Father who has promised his love to you and committed his Son for you and himself to you. The onus is not on us. Amen? Amen? Who taking responsibility? The Father. David said, I'm young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because God is a covenant-keeping God. And he that watches over Israel does what? He never slumbers and he never sleeps. He became known as Jehovah Jireh, the many-breasted one, in the Hebrew tongue. Isn't that incredible? The many-breasted one. It meant that he suckles. He provides. Amen? He nourishes. He cherishes his people. You have a Father in heaven, not a force of faith within you that's sustaining you. And when your faith is in the Father, you don't need a force on the inside of you, because you've got a Father watching over you. In fact, the last time I heard the word force used, it wasn't the Bible. You can't find the force of faith in the Bible. You can find it in people teaching, erroneous teaching, putting the onus on you. Last time I heard the force was in Star Wars. What did that little froggy looking thing say? Yoda? What'd he say? What'd he say? To Luke Skywalker? You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Pull out your lightsaber. Luke. Who's your daddy, Luke? Amen. Something from Star Wars. Amen. Or something like that. Amen. It gets so crazy. The force is with you. Honey, this is not a force with us. This is a Father. Can you say amen? When you pray, pray, our force which art in heaven. Our force which art within me. No, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. We got a Father that cares for us. We got a Father who loves us. The Holy Ghost doesn't cry force when you build your faith. The Holy Ghost cries Abba, Father, when you build your faith. Yes. Amen. Yes. I look at Christians coming in here with long faces, with bodies being made unhealthy by anxiety and stress because you're taking the onus. You're becoming responsible for your victory instead of resting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Amen. You got to figure it out. I went through nervous exhaustion for 10 years. Anything that has fear anywhere around it, I reject completely. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Can you say, man, he that feareth is not perfected in love? Because whose perfect love? The Father's for us. Cast out how much? All fear. Can you say, man, fear not? Little flock, you'll always be in the minority. Amen. The enemy will always outnumber you, but don't be afraid, little flock. It's the Father's. The Father's here, isn't it? Amen. The Father's always around. The Father is always near. Christ said, my Father is always with me. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you being evil, that means you live in a faulty body in a fallen world, and you have to deal with that weak flesh every day. If you being evil intrinsically in your flesh, in my flesh, Paul said, is no good thing. Got to crucify it to walk in order to be free to walk in the Spirit. Listen to me carefully. If you being evil as your base nature, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will what? Your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith is in His relationship to you through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're sons of God. Not just sinners saved by grace, subject to sin or Satan. You are now what? What? Paul looked out at a group of people like us. Amen. You should see yourself reflected to me. If I had a camera on my shoulder and you couldn't see it, one of those little hidden button cameras, and you saw how you look, some of us on Sunday morning, whatever you're reading, unless it's the Bible, I don't want to read it. And if you're reading the Bible, I want to reinterpret it to you. Can you say amen? Because God came to set you free. God came to tell you not to be afraid. God came to tell you the battle is His. God came to tell you that the onus is not on us. It's on Him, and to trust Him with it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He will bring it to pass. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author. Jesus, who is the finisher of your faith. Wow. So I just stay away from fear. There are plenty of churches that will fill you with it, but you won't get filled with it here. You'll get tapes that will fill you with it in the name of faith, but you won't get filled with it here. We will not make concessions to the devil here. We will not make Him bigger than God here. We will not magnify Him here. This is not about the devil and his minions. This is about the victory that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ and the relationship that we now enjoy in God's royal family. Hallelujah. Oh, give God a hand clap. Not here. Hartbaki went to India to preach. He sent his organizer that organized the meetings ahead of him. There's thousands of gods in India that are worshipped. Literally thousands of gods and deities that they worship. People starving to death while cows are considered sacred. All of that hamburger going to India is one place you won't find the golden arches. Can you say amen? Fallen arches, yes, but golden arches, no. Can you say amen? No cattle. People listen, they literally made them, they're man-made gods, and they're all afraid of all of them. In Haiti, it's the same thing. They'll worship your Jesus, and they'll worship something down at the voodoo house. Amen. Because they say all gods are to be feared, and if you name one, we'll fear it. Maybe we can get blessed by it. You got to distinguish Jesus from man-made gods. And you got to get the fear out. Amen. Fear of the Lord is different than the fear of man-made gods who all their life were held in bondage by fear of death and judgment. Jesus come to set us free from that intrinsic, fundamental fear, and then every other fear might fall. Can you say amen? When fear is conquered, faith stands in complete and absolute victory. But don't be afraid you're going to fail when you're sustained by the grace and mercy of a heavenly Father that loves you and said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Everybody say, the onus isn't on us. The onus is on Him. He said, the fowls of the air, don't worry about it. Your Father cares for them. How will He not care for you, oh, ye of your little faith? Is your faith going to manufacture food? Is it going to create these things? No, your Father's going to supply them like He supplies it for the fowls of the air. He said, in fact, I don't want you to even think about those things. Take ye no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Listen to this. For who, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Who, by worry, is going to change his height? I have been told that I am short. I feel very tall right now. However, when I buy slacks, the inseam has to be 29. Or I'm going to trip on my cuffs. But when I stand up beside the couch's sons, those 6'3" guys, I discover I'm short. And I could go home filled with anxiety and worry because I am not tall. See, I don't have to be tall. I got a woman shorter than me. That's all I need. I worked with a guy that was shorter than me, way shorter than me. He was 5'1". Big barrel chest, bodybuilder, 5'1" though. He had to say, you know, it was hard to get symmetrical because his chest was bigger, his legs, big as they were, they looked little compared to this big up here. He had a wife that was 6'1". He said, and you know, he worked out at the gym with me, and when I worked out, and he said, you know, it's pretty embarrassing, Rev. He said, because we got these high cabinets. This old house has been there. You know, they built the cabinets way up here where you had to almost step on one of these steps. He said, I can't reach to get a glass when I'm wanting to drink. I can't reach. He said, and I called my wife. I said, honey, would you get me a glass? And here comes his wife up, just reaches up and hands it down to him. Amen. I think that's why he was pumping iron, because he can't make himself taller, so he makes himself stronger. Who, by taking thought? See, God doesn't want you worrying, filled with anxiety and fearful. Who, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, by the way, he said, your Father. Everybody say, your Father. Again, where's the focus? The Father again? You mean it's all about the Father? You mean faith is focused on the Father? When you pray, who's the focus? How did Jesus tell you to pray? When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Huh? Whatever you ask. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive. Ask who? The Father. That your joy might be full. Because the onus isn't on you. God is now in control. God has it. Everybody say the Father. Heretofore you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. For whatever you ask, say it with me, the Father, in my name, He will give it you. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? All the dependence is on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has become our Heavenly Father. How's the prayer? Teach us to pray. Oh, just believe. See that believe thing was at SeaWorld. You go on Oprah with a book Every book's going to come back to the same fundamental truth. If you can believe in yourself strong enough, you can be anything you want, do anything you want. You just got to believe in what? In yourself. Listen, Holy Spirit lives in me, but I don't have self-confidence. The anointing is on me, but I don't have self-confidence. My sufficiency, as Paul said, is of the Lord. Can you say amen? Not that we are sufficient as of anything in ourselves. 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Great healings, miracles, appointings and anointings, spiritual authority, without question. But he said, without God's grace and sustaining mercy, we fall. We fail. Can you say amen? I don't want to be taught how to stand in my anointing or stand in my faith. I want to be taught how to stand in my standing that I have with him through Jesus Christ. By grace you're saved, and by grace you are sustained. You never get away from grace. Hallelujah. Amen? God don't want you independent from him, and he don't want you not being interdependent on one another. Amen. All right. Having said that, there's a lot of teachings that violate those principles, but they're ironclad in the Word of God. He said, I'm not even going to tell you that I'm going to pray for you. I'm not talking about his intercession. I'm talking about that every time we pray, he has to take that prayer in some way, make it work. No, he said, I am not going to pray for you. For the Father himself loveth you. Isn't that incredible? You have an access to God. You have an audience with God. You can come before the Father in my name, and whatever you ask, say the Father again. I want to get your faith focused on the Father's love and care. I'm a father. Let me tell you something about my kids. I chastened them when they were growing up. To this day, there are things neither one of my boys, one of them's taller than me and the other one's bigger than me the other way, neither one of them will come in my roof and start no stuff. Heard James Brown singing the other day, Papa don't take no mess. Don't say the rest of it. Amen. There's another verse and we don't want to hear it this morning. Something about him beating something out of us, but I won't even go there. Can you? But Papa didn't take no mess growing up. One of the reasons I'm able to preach here is having my children under control with all gravity. That's a requirement, by the way, not just an anointing. God looks at your household. He wants you to be an example to the flock, not just a lord over God's heritage. Amen. Wife in submission, children under control. My children, piece of cake. I tell you, my wife has been, she don't want it all on her. There are times she comes in and she says, you're the head of the house, you're the priest of the home, deal with it. But she'll come right alongside me and pray. But she don't want that onus on her. She wants that onus on me. If you miss it and if you don't handle it, then it's between you and God. But I'm not going to carry this anymore. And it honors me that she would do that, that I could have that place. And by the way, I don't want to make the final decision. I want my wife partnered with me. Two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask. It'll be given them of their faith that manifests. No, their Father, which is in heaven. Everybody say the Father again. Doesn't he just keep showing up when you talk faith, when you pray, when you believe, when you look for provision and protection? Somebody keeps popping up. I got to hurry and quit, but listen to me. Praise God. I was at a pastor's site last night. I was reading. He said, what do you do when you're bored with your own sermons? He said, I don't have a problem with just my congregation being bored. I'm studying and I'm bored. And I thought, son, you ought to get down in this word and let this word get down in you. We got something to say today. We got something to preach today. We got something to ignite our hearts and inflame us today. We got a Father which art in heaven. And if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you because your Father knows what you have need of. whatever you ask the Father in my name. You don't just name it, claim it. You trust Him for your provision. It's about a person. And who gets the glory? Your faith or your God? Your Father. I'm a daddy. Here's what God's Word says to me as a dad. Oh, by the way, I'm chasing my children. I loved them to pieces, and they know it. And if somebody tried to hurt one of them, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I've read the scripture about turning the other cheek. And that means not seeking personal vengeance on them. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. Not being retaliatory. But you know what the Bible tells me? He said, if you, Robert, don't provide for your own, you're denied the faith, and you're worse than an infidel. That's strong words, isn't it? That means the onus is on the daddy. We used to have people neglecting their family. We would kick in and help their family because their family was doing without, and they said God did it. God didn't do it. They wasn't out doing what they're supposed to do, and we had mercy on their family. God didn't do it. If a man don't work, what's he supposed to not get? You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to push that old boy that's talking about his faith, and I knew God would provide. If God, listen, I wanted to push him aside and tell him, this is not for you, son. This is for these kids and your poor old wife here that you won't provide for. This ain't for you. Don't you pull your chair up there. You go get a job. Well, thank you for the hearty amens. If a man don't work, if you're a widow under 60, get a job. Church, not responsible. Back when there was no other things to help anybody. If you're under 60, go to work. Church, not responsible. Amen. I've offered people work by the road. Need your yard raked. Of course, I have some people I wouldn't want to bring to my yard, but you know what I'm saying. Hey, we had the church robbed one time. Oh, can we read the Bible? God takes a real dim view of that. Of fathers not providing. If your father, if your son asks a fish, you who are fathers, would you give him a stone, a serpent? If he asks for bread, would you give him a serpent? If you know how to give good things, how much would your father give good things to you? You need an expectancy of good in your life. Not demonic defeat and not armies overwhelming you, but God's goodness. David said, I would have been crushed like everybody else unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Down here in this faulty body, in this fallen world, I'm young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God cares for his own. Say it with me. God cares for his own. Hallelujah. Faith is in the Father's love. Faith is in the Father's provision. Faith is in the Father's protection. Faith is in the Father's commitment to answer prayer when we come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me carefully. The anxiety level of people that are getting into doctrines that puts the onus on them keeps rising and rising and rising and rising. I know a Christian young lady that just talked faith every breath, and everything was just seemed dependent on her faith. And if her faith didn't stay at a particular level, she was going to be defeated and destroyed. And she's right now and has been for years sat under great anointings and teachings, but took the onus on her. Broke under the load mentally and emotionally and is now in a mental institution. When I went to visit people in mental institutions, many times they forbid me to bring the Bible in because they're troubled by this book instead of comforted. And the Bible said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Hear this, that through the patience, everybody hug. Everybody hug. Come on. Through the patience, and say it with me, the comfort of the Scripture. Hallelujah. That you might have what? Hope. The glad anticipation of future good. Can you say amen? If it fills you with fear, if it's filled with confusion, God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of deep, settled peace. This This book is designed that any state you're in, because you have a heavenly Father whose Son died for you, that you might come to Him and put your trust in Him as His bona fide child. Hallelujah. That you might say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. We have no power or might to go out against this great army, but our eyes are upon you. The moment those words left his mouth, that many would rebuke and call a bad confession. Come on, there's tapes out there that would stand and rebuke of that. You're supposed to go out and say, we're more than conquerors. We got it all together. I'm full of faith and power. Bless God, I'm going to do this. No, we have no power. We have no might against this great army. Listen to this. And this blows away a lot of the new kids on the block. Neither know we what to do. We don't have a plan, Stan. Everybody say, we don't have a plan, Stan. Can you say amen? Did you know God is going to show you in detail everything? He asks you to trust unequivocally. He asks you to trust without leaning to your understanding. Everybody's trying to figure it out. Amen. Why don't you bloom where you're planted until God shows you what He wants? How would that be? How many is planted anywhere? You're not just floating around in space. Amen. Do you know where you live? Wave at me. Can you find your way home? Amen. Can you? You can. She's the most. Everybody else had a little problem with that. She know right how to get. How many don't need GPS to get home? You can actually find it without this little boy saying, turn left here. You got to watch those things. Guy driving in a snowstorm in the Midwest this winter. GPS told him there's a shortcut here. The traffic was backed up ahead because so much snow on the road. GPS told him there's a traffic jam, but here's a shortcut. What GPS couldn't see was all the snow on that old country road with no snow plows. So he listened to the lady. I put a lady on ours for Pamela, you know. She's such a nice lady, I'd leave it on there when I use it. Praise God. Turn left here. Turn right here. Stop. So he took the shortcut according to GPS, and off he went down this road, and he got way out in the middle of nowhere and hit a big snowbank and couldn't go back and couldn't go forward. He was snowed in. He had to walk 6 miles in sub-zero temperature back to the interstate. Amen. Amen. God's word is not to fill you with confusion. It's not to fill you with fear and uncertainty. It's to fill you with faith and assurance. Quietness and assurance shall be your strength. Can you say amen? The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, so you can be confused and messed up your whole life. No. So through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, you might have, no matter where you are in life, the glad anticipation of future good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's written for our comfort. Praise God. Hallelujah. Comfort one another. Even when death comes to one of us. Amen. We're told to comfort one another with these very words right here. I speak them at funerals all the time to comfort God's people. When I hear a tape, it better comfort me. Amen. Do you hear me? Amen. 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 If it's filled with fear, if it doesn't tell me of the love of my Father and His commitment to me, I don't want it near me. I went through 10 years of nervous exhaustion because of fear. And part of the fear was because of so-called faith-based teaching that put me in fear. That if my faith wasn't a certain level, God wouldn't help me. So when my faith shook, I had no one to fall upon. I'm going to tell you this beautiful story as we close this morning. In Africa, there was a particular tribe of people that in their dialect, as a missionary tried to communicate to them, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, there was no word in their vocabulary for loved like that. Not a single word in their vocabulary. He couldn't figure out how to communicate that message of God's tremendous love for them. Till one day, he had brought in, first by plane, and then by truck, and then by canoe, had brought in this small couch that folded out. And one of the natives came in, and he sat down on that. They had straw mats on the floor. He sat down on a couchy. Springs in it. Cushion on it. And he laid back on it. And he said a word. It wasn't love. I'm sorry. It was believe. That they that believe upon him would not believe. He laid down on that couch and stretched out. And he said a word. And the missionary said, "What did you just say? What does that mean in English?" He said, "It means to cast all your weight upon. I laid down on this couch and I cast all my weight upon it and rested like I've never rested before." He said, "That's it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would what? Rely totally on him for our safety, our salvation, our future." Amen. Amen. He said, "I found the word that represents what that word means in the Greek and in the context that is written." Some of you need to discover what believe really means. Believe is not this. I used to do that before pumping iron. I used to bench press over 300 pounds. And I couldn't do it without getting up. I had to get me some air inside of me. Oh, I had to pump up. I had to psych myself out. You should have saw your little preacher laying under that weight in there with all those big gorillas. Amen. And they said, "Come on, Preacher Bob, you could do it." And I'd go, oh. And then I'd go, "Aah!" And when I thought I'd had a good day, I'd come home with one whole side of my eye completely red because my blood pressure would spike and it would break capillaries in my eye. And I'd look at that eye and say, "That was a good workout." You can come to faith that way if you want to. But when that native said, Bible said in Hebrews, there is a rest for the children of the Lord. Beware lest any of you come short from entering it. There's a place where we trust in the finished work of Christ. Can you say amen? Come on, this is New Testament. There is a place. Come on, there is a rest. There is a rest. Probably the sixth chapter, there is a rest. Fourth chapter, there is a rest. There is a rest for the children of the Lord. Beware lest any of you come short of it. Amen. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. This is what those natives heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would. What saves you, church? Does anybody know anything about the blood of Jesus Christ? What's the first element in overcoming the devil? The blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You need to be in this position when you believe on him. Hallelujah. You need to be in this position when you trust him to care for you and protect you. You need to get out of that stance of tightness and tensity. Amen. You need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and he will strengthen thy heart. Are you getting anything out of this service? Are you glad you came? Can you tell I don't read every book on the shelf or listen to every tape? Are you aware of that? I can pick up fear because it stalked me. It tormented me. It broke me and battered me. And I flat reject it because the things that were written in that book was for my comfort, not my confusion. Can you say, man, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, I could have, no matter where I'm at, no matter what the condition is, the glad anticipation of future good. Listen, he goes and gets that cast sheep, the shepherd does. He rides him if he can't stand up. And you've only seen Jesus with the lamb. I want you to get another picture of Jesus. He reaches down and gets that gold sheep across his shoulders. Shepherds were not wimps. Everybody say, shepherds were not wimps. He gets that. Listen. The guy across from you has a big old German Shepherd. He's a bad man. He's a big dog, full-blooded German Shepherd. Took him running in the wood. Took him out walking in the woods in the hot weather a few summers ago. How long ago? Two summers ago. Walking in those woods behind your house, this area that's still wooded, way out in the boonies. Old dog got in there, got dehydrated. Old dog, this big bad German Shepherd, got to where he couldn't stand up and plopped over. Amen. Way out there in the woods. But his daddy, his master, amen, what did he do? Did he leave him out there? Did he talk to him like, you big old German Shepherd, you big bad dog? You supposed to be such big bad dog. You better get up on your feet. You're going to die out here. I'm going to leave you. No, what did he do? Man loving a dog that much. What did the man do? God grabbed him, picked him up, threw him over his shoulders, and back in his head. Amen. They don't even think he's going to live. Come on, I've been there. I've been the dog. I've been the big, bad, anointed, appointed preacher dog. Roar, roar, every Sunday. Devils come around. Roar. Can you say amen? Yeah, absolutely. But when you get in that condition, you're not growling no more. You're not barking no more. Your eyes rolling around up in your head. Amen. You're lightheaded. You can't stand on your own 2 feet. And your master comes because he loves you. And he just won't leave you to die. Not because of your great faith, but his great love. He picked me up. Like that guy picked up that dog, and he carried that big old dog back to the house, took him to the vet, and the vet says, I don't know if he'll make it or not. He's awful far gone. I was awful far gone too. But he lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Hallelujah. Honey, if love don't lift you, you'll never get out of that hole. Love has to lift you out. That's why David said, he lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet on a rock. He established me. None of this is of me. It's all him. And he put a song in my heart. The joy is back. You will heed the message from my word, I will deliver you from the prison of fear. And you will not need supernatural healing when the stress is removed from your spirit and soul. Your body will heal itself, saith God. If you're going to get in the healing line and go home and worry, even if God does it, it won't last. And it won't be because the devil put it back on you. It's because you didn't rest in the full assurance that your Father will provide and protect you. Amen. I'm a daddy. I'm told if I don't provide for my own, I don't just provide pork and beans. I provide protection. You're in my house at night, I consider you a threat to my family. Hello? You in my house at night, you break the door and come in my house at night? Amen? I ain't calling the popo. I can get a pizza quicker. I'm serious. Papa John's will show up before the popo. I'll take care of business. Preacher. That's right, but I'm providing for my own. Then you say, amen. You in my house at night after dark? That man right there, he's a sweet guy. I love that guy. He's got a sweet spirit. Don't come in his house after dark, break his door down. Amen. Don't do that. No, you just come in there, try to hurt his wife at night. Amen. He's a daddy, and he's a husband. God's a daddy and a husband. to Israel and a daddy and a husband to us. Can you say amen? Halabakosha. I'm glad, hallelujah, to have a God like this. Can you say amen? I'm glad to have a God like this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad to know a God like this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whosoever would believe on Him, rely on Him, rest in Him, completely trust in Him and Him alone, shall have eternal life. That's how you get saved, and that's how you're kept until He comes. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And He shall... Listen, let me finish the Jehoshaphat thing. We're almost done. I've had to undo some stuff to do some stuff. That's why I've had to preach this long. Listen to me carefully. I'm undoing tapes on top of tapes. Books on top of books and pamphlets on top of pamphlets. An hour upon top of hour of other teaching. But it's not sustained by that book. The Father keeps popping up. His love, His provision, His protection keeps popping up, popping up, popping up, popping up. So faith's focus is on the Father's love and provision. And Jesus' commitment to never leave us. Hallelujah. This sin-darkened world, what we don't need anymore is any more fear. There's enough of it. We need some faith in the Father's keeping power. Hallelujah. Pamela told me the missionary. See if you can remember the song in closing. He went out. They took him out to kill him. He knew he was going to be slain. He knew he was going to give his life for the sake of the gospel. There wouldn't be missions in the world if it was dependent on television or televangelist. People had to go and lay down their life to make them listen. In Moody Bible Institute, there's a whole wall of people that gave their life. If you watch the movie The End of the Spear, you'll see three young men slain for the sake of the gospel so that they would listen to the ones that came behind them. And they gave their life that others might know Jesus. Paul gave his life that others might know Jesus. One of the hyper-faith teachers says he didn't have to. Hello? He went so far as to say, but different strokes for different folks. In other words, if I had been in his shoes, I would have used my faith and done this and that and the other, and I wouldn't have had to be martyred to seal my testimony. And yet Paul said, this is the time of my departure. I'm not being defeated by an enemy. I'm being called home by my God. And I'm sealing a testimony that's going to bring many to Christ in the process. These guys, in their fancy suits, penthouses and big cars and rings and things, and buttons and bows, couldn't follow Paul in evangelism around the block. Because you get beat up, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked. They don't bear the marks of an apostle, because the marks of a true apostle is not how much money you got in the bank and how big your jet plane is. It's the persecutions you've suffered gladly for the sake of the gospel. Hello? I bear in my body the marks of an apostle. You sell out to Jesus and you become that important and influential to the Church of Jesus Christ, they're going to persecute you. If you don't bear them in your physical body, you're sure going to bear them in your emotional man. I got them where you can't see them, but they're there, believe me. But the oil and the wine has closed every wound. And I don't regret serving God for 1 minute, 1 second of one day. Hallelujah. What a mighty, faithful Father that I serve. As we pray today, amen. Choose something sweet, the sweetest thing you can find. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish I had that. Mishalabah. He knows my name. Whatever you choose. Mishalabah kisotara marushalabah. I've come to set you free from the prison house of fear. I've come to set you free. that you may go out and see others set free. I've come to set you free, that you might know my peace that passes understanding, and my love that passes knowledge, that you not be soon shaken, but that you be able to stand even in this last day, having done all to stand, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this room. God is gracious and God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet here today and let's give him some praise before we leave this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From day one, man wanted to control his destiny, control his circumstances. He didn't want to just simply listen to God and depend on the Lord. Because of that, sin entered this world. All Adam had to do to be cared for is obey God and trust him. Everybody say, obey God and trust him. Hallelujah. And all you and I need to do to be cared for is obey God and trust him. Everybody say, trust and obey. For there's no other way. Hallelujah. Amen. It's as simple and fundamental as it can possibly be. But it's one of the hardest things to get people to come to the place in their life to do. Trust unequivocally in the Father's love and provision, and obey uncontestedly when he speaks to your heart. When he says, fear not, stop it. Yes. Amen. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, but then stop it. Amen. You say, Brother Vimmel, it overwhelms me. No, you've got, you listen, there's where your authority kicks in, right there. Amen. You've got the authority over your mind. Not over all your circumstances, but you got it over your mind. Can you say amen? Sound mind means disciplined. That means my mind can be directed by my spirit. It is not out of control. Amen? When Jesus says, fear not, we're to cast down those imaginations. We're to cast down that fear. Counter it with the word of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? When you feel alone, say what he said, not what you feel. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't matter how you feel. You got his word on it. You're able to say, the Lord is my helper. You don't have to feel it. You say, Brother Venable, I just got to be honest. Well, then be honest and tell the truth. God is with you. Okay? And feeling it don't make it true. Amen. You know what I am by birth? I'm a Venable. Follow my family tree. You're going to find it full of Venables. Shake it. A few nuts will fall out, but you're going to find Venables in that tree. Can you say amen? When I get up in the morning and somebody asks me to sign a document, I don't hesitate. Amen. And say, you know something? I don't feel very Venable-like today. I don't have to test my feelings to see if I'm a Venable every single day to try to get my feelings. Am I a Venable today? I might be a Hendrickson. I feel more like a Hendrickson than a Venable or a Johnson. I'm a Venable by birth. Amen. I can change my name, but I can't change my bloodline. You're a Christian. You're a son of God. No matter what you feel like. And all faith does is just reach out into the truth of God and say, regardless of what I feel, he said he'd never leave me. I accept it. Praise God. And I say what he said. He said, I'll never leave nor forsake you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to help you, and God's going to take you through. Are you tired of the confusion? You're tired of the mess? You're tired of the false prophets? Are you tired of prophecies that fail? Are you tired of things that just mess you up more and confuse you more and put you into fear? Amen. Are you ready to start blooming right where you are? Is there any soul anywhere in your sphere of influence that God may want you to touch? Is there anybody? Are you too big, too great? Is your calling way beyond that soul that's right there in your pathway? Amen. I want to reach everybody I come in contact with something of his essence and fragrance before I go home. I want to win people to Jesus. Praise God. And I want to be free from all the fears that would hold me back from running this race to the end and running it with patience. Hallelujah. Wave at me if you want freedom in Jesus and you want His peace and His power, His love and His direction. Trust and obey, friend, because there's no other way. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Let's lift Him up. You can leave when you're ready. I'm glad you came. Praise the Lord. Praise.